Hey guys, Mike here from Mercado Airwaves. We want to thank you so much for all the support you've given us here on the network. And if you want to see what we're up to outside of the station, please follow us all over social media. I'm on Twitter at Mike M Media and on Instagram at Mike Mercado Media. You can follow the good brother Alex Mercado on Twitter at Mercado21Alex and on Instagram at Mercado2121. The lovely Nicole Mancha is on all social media platforms at Typing When Tipsy. You can follow the network on Twitter at Mercado Airwaves. Our pop culture show, The Good Brothers, on Twitter at Good Brothers Pod. Our true crime shows on Instagram at Murder Mysteries and More. And of course, like us on Facebook at Mercado Airwaves. You can see all our videos on YouTube.com/MikeMercado2333 or by searching Mercado Airwaves Network. We play video games on Twitch, twitch.tv/Mercado Airwaves Network. And of course, you could support our network by finding a tier just for you, whether you want early access, you want to be part of polls, you want to win contests. Prizes by visiting us at patreon.com/Mercado Airwaves. And we really appreciate it wherever you get your favorite podcast to like, rate, review, and share us. And please spread the word. For the good brother, Alex Mercado, for the lovely Nicole Mancha, I'm Mike Mercado. Thank you so much for all the support you've given us here on the network. Welcome in, friends, to the best damn pop culture podcast in the universe, in the galaxy, in the Speed Force, in the Spider-Verse, in a galaxy far, far away. It's the one, the only, the Quarantine Files, brought to you by the Good Brothers here on the Mercado Airwaves Network. I'm your host, Mike Mercado, with the one, the only, the good brother himself, Alex Mercado. How's it going, good brother?
¿Cómo estás?
Everything appears to be everything, good brother. And on today's episode of the Quarantine Files, we're doing things a little differently. Good brother, why don't you tell the fine folks what you have up your sleeve?
So we're pulling a little bit of a CW here, and our crossover, our franchise list was so big that we're going to take that list and we're going to make a few other mini-verse lists. So we're going to take our best franchises from last week, and we're going to pick our favorite film in set franchise and discuss why that film stands above the other fantastic films in that franchise.
So for example, good brother, why don't we go ahead and get into this bad boy? For example, at number 5, we had Lord of the Rings and The Avengers. So what exactly do you have in mind when I say that in today's list at number 5?
So the first thing we're going to talk about is Lord of the Rings. And I think your discussion falls into two parts. I don't think either of us will pick part 2, but it's, are you a fan of part 1, The Fellowship of the Ring, or are you a fan of part 3, Return of the King? So I personally prefer the first one. We've talked about it. I like the innocence of it. I like the, it's very fresh because it was the first one and it kind of started the whole thing. I like how simple it was. I know I'm probably in the minority, but I really actually do enjoy the Fellowship of the Ring for Lord of the Rings.
And for me personally, I absolutely adore The Return of the King. I think that one has much more of a complete journey. It definitely, obviously, it being the conclusion, it lands harder for me. It has better action. It has better acting. I think what The Fellowship of the Ring has, though, is the veil of it being the first of its kind. The first time we've ever seen anything like that. But I think The Lord of the Rings does one great thing, and I think obviously it has to do with Peter Jackson being the director and all of them. They all feel the same, even though the stakes get higher and higher as the movies go on. I think that's really important of some of the movies that you and I talk about throughout this list, is that it does a great job honoring the legacy of the films before it. And The Fellowship of the Ring does a great job of honoring the movie, the cartoon movie, and the books before it, while Return of the King does a great job of honoring movies that came before it. And I think that's what makes it such a strong competitor and contender on my list. I think you could go for either one, depending on what you're looking for. It's the same thing as like Avenger movies or whatnot, where the scale is a little bit different. But I think Return of the King is just this epic ride. That's why I have it as the best in that franchise.
Well, it's funny you say that, because now we're going to go to what was my number 5. So what ended up happening is we had most of the same films in our list, so that really helped us brand off a few other lists. But we had different number 5s, and yours was Lord of the Ring, and mine was the Avengers franchise. And me personally, I put Avengers as one of my favorite superhero films of all time, one of my favorite billion-dollar movies of all time, my favorite Marvel movie of all time, something about the original 6 Avengers fighting for New York, the first glimpse of Thanos, Loki being one of the best bad guys in any sort of superhero movie. I know I've said that a lot, so if I had to pick a number 2 just for fun, I'd pick Infinity War personally out of those 4, because it's the first movie I think to have a cliffhanger and did it perfectly. And it left you not happy or sad, but confused and almost a little lost. And there's an art form to that, and I don't think we're going to see that again, honestly, for a very long time.
When it comes to the Avengers, my favorite one is Infinity War. And I think the reason is...
Yeah, that's right.
Well, I think the reason that ends up being that is it takes what happens from the Avengers and it just makes the stakes go higher. And it's the same thing of Return of the King to the Fellowship of the Ring. The Avengers has this simplicity, small world, even though obviously it's this galactic takeover with Loki and him sending in the army and whatnot. But it seems still simple at that point. It was only Loki. We didn't know about Thanos. And the Infinity Stones weren't this big thing. We hadn't met the Guardians yet. We hadn't met the Nova Corps. But Infinity War takes all of that and still finds a way to make it personal. It still means something. Each person has a stake in it. And it's the time where we got to see a lot of chemistry from these different characters. The fact that we got to see a lot of these characters even more brought into stage. The fact that Avengers felt like something we would never see. And then we get to this point where we're seeing some of the most C-tier, D-tier characters become mainstream. Infinity War obviously has the most emotional ending. While Avengers has that very fun, almost spy, James Bond, Mission Impossible type of ending. Everybody, Ocean's 11 type of
one. Sort of ending.
Yes, that's not Infinity War. Infinity War lets you feeling like, no, this is bad. We don't know what we're going to get next time. That's why I have Infinity War. Exactly. That's why I have Infinity War at that level right there.
No, I agree. It's almost a throwback to those old 90 cartoon crossovers when you start seeing Spider-Man pick a team of heroes and a team of villains. Like, it reminds me of that where, like you said, we get so many chapters of heroes teaming up that we never thought we would enjoy, like Thor and the Guardians. Like, it makes sense now. But at the time, it was like, oh, okay. And now it's one of the best things that we're getting a spinoff movie. So Infinity War is just so ahead of its time, even now.
Which of the Marvel movies, when it comes to the individuals, comes closest to an Avengers-esque type of movie?
Civil War. And I rewatched Civil War, and I was one of those people that I didn't love Civil War first because Barry Zemo, again, Marvel sometimes is either 100% with the bad guys or they pull a Zemo and Ultron, and it's so wasted. But man, is that movie great for the first 95%? The very ending before the fight between our heroes is great. And just everything but that 5% of the main bad guy who was pretty much unneeded, honestly. That movie's perfect almost.
And speaking of perfect, good brother, on the next tier of list, we are going to talk about Godfather / gangster type of movies. Now, when I say that, what comes to mind in your evil head?
So obviously we picked the Godfather franchise, and I think the question comes to now, we're not going to pick part three. So are we going to, we always talk about it. This is a big one. Are you going to pick part one or are you going to pick part two? I'll start. I rewatched both this weekend. Actually, it was on AMC and they were doing a marathon, so I had it in the background. I love Godfather 2 with Robert De Niro as Corleone and his uprising. I think that section of the story with Robert De Niro is the best of all the Godfather. Like, those clips is the best Godfather we get. Overall, though, I would say part one is a little cleaner. It runs a little smoother. And it's a little more enjoyable in a fun stance. So I would pick Godfather 1 personally.
For me personally, if it was just a discussion about the Godfather series, I would go Godfather 2. When you have the side-by-side of Vito Corleone and Michael Corleone, you see the ascension of both of them. We saw how it ends in Godfather 1 and the fact that Michael trying to buy his way into politics and how he's just trying his best to go from what he considers the gutter to the top. But then you see where Vito came from, but almost how the purity of Vito Corleone compared to Michael's corruption. And I think that's the beauty of it. If we're talking about mobster movies, I think one, and this is always the conversation, is Goodfellas. The difference between Goodfellas and Godfather to me is simply this. Goodfellas is a much more fun movie. It glorifies mobster mentality. It glorifies crime. It glorifies violence. If you watch The Godfather, when Sonny gets shot, it is not pretty. When they're hanging people or they're killing people or when they kill the son-in-law, it is not pretty. It is not fun. It is violent. It is viral. You see it. You live it. It's very visceral, if you will. Goodfellas is an action movie. Goodfellas is what happened in the 1990s when you had these movies that had the big bang, 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 bang kind of things. And you have Joe Pesci kicking people and whatnot. There is a difference between these movies. And I think you can almost talk about them in different veins of what they bring to you in that genre. But strictly speaking, for mobster movies, the gold standard is Godfather 2.
Again, I just think the problem with Godfather 2 is that it runs into the problem of it's trying to tell such a grand story, not only one, but two of them, And I feel like when you're really enjoying one, it cuts to a different one. And like I said, all the stuff with Vito is my favorite. I don't love what happens in Cuba. I think that's a little bit, it's very much classic mafioso, but I just don't love the Cuban stories. I feel like they're a little dry. And I guess that's why Godfather 2 always is more of a, I have to keep watching, where Godfather 1 is like, oh my God, I can't believe it's almost done.
Lastly, before we move on, I think Godfather 2 is very quotable, just like Godfather 1. I just think that they're heavier in Godfather 2. I just think the stakes mean more in Godfather 2. You know, arguably the greatest scene or the greatest motion in throughout the entire Godfather series is in Godfather 1 when they're when Michael's trying to keep Vito alive in the hospital and those hitmen are coming after him. That's one of the most suspenseful moments. But I think from the trial and seeing some of the old guys come back from Italy to kind of make things right when Michael's being, being, you know, grand juried by the Senate and whatnot, I think there's a lot, there's very nuanced in Godfather 2, even abortion talk. So I think both movies have something very heavy in them, and I think both of them deserve every title they've ever gotten.
They both have a lot to say, and they don't waste their message, which some sequels tend to do. I think they tell very different stories. Which is fascinating because, like you even said, I love the way you said it, where Vito and Michael were telling both their stories of them coming up, but you almost feel like Vito's really a hardworking, honest man, where Michael was almost a spoiled kid kind of thrown into the power, and you start to look at him different, yet Vito is a hero. We love Vito. Like, Robert De Niro, he's our buddy. He's our friend. Like, the way he did it was right. And I love that aspect. I agree.
And I think that's what's dangerous between, let's say, movies like Goodfellas, Casino, Heat, all these movies that Scorsese and some of the other great directors of the 80s, 90s made towards this generation compared to what Coppola was doing in the 70s. There was even The Sopranos. And I think The Sopranos did a good job of, they didn't always make it look pretty. The Godfather never made it seem like, you know, Michael Corleone or Vito were necessarily heroes. They made a good thing of saying they're doing what they gotta do. And it's up to you and your moral compass. And there's, opposed to Goodfellas, where it's like, no, they're just rowdy, crazy boys. Like, you know, what can you say about Jimmy? You know, like, compared to Vito Corleone. And I think that's the difference between them. But good, brother, we move on from one of the greatest series of all time to another one. And it was the Dark Knight trilogy that we had on our list. Now, I think this one is a very fun one. What came to your mind when this came up on our list?
I think what interested both you and me was you had this as one of your favorite movies of all time, but you don't necessarily love the franchise ending. And so it made me think, okay, let's take Dark Knight off the list. Do we both agree Batman Begins is very close to a perfect movie?
Absolutely.
That's what I think I wanted out of this. So we both obviously accept Dark Knight's both our favorite movies of all time. There's no surprise there. We love it. We always will. Take that out. Is there any chance Dark Knight Rises beat Batman Begins? I love Dark Knight Rises, but I think, like I said earlier, we both pick Batman Begins. And what's your reason why?
So, first of all, Dark Knight, my favorite movie, not just because of the acting, not just because of the script. It's beautifully shot. It changed technology. It changed the way we went to go see IMAX movies, the way it put Chicago on the map when it came to film location. Now, let's talk a little bit about why I would have Batman Begins over The Dark Knight Rises. I think Bane and Catwoman and Talia are better bad guys and adversaries to Batman than, let's say, Scarecrow, but not Ra's al Ghul. Liam Neeson brought something different to that role that I think you really can't ask many other actors and actresses to bring on. The fact that Batman Begins came after Batman and Robin. Now, this is something that I think nobody's ever going to really take into consideration years later now. Maybe back in 2006, 2008, we really did. But you got to remember where Batman was as a franchise. You know, we live in a scenario right now, and because the Good Brother and I and Super Mercado Brother and I are huge superhero nerds and we love Batman, it's always been part of the lexicon. We grew up here in Chicago. One of the best rides in all of the states is the Batman ride at Six Flags, Great America. We love Batman. That didn't mean the nation did. That didn't mean Hollywood did. What Batman Begins was made Batman cool again. He made him scary. He made him legit. And that's something that nobody else did. What Dark Knight Rises did, it went mainstream. And that's cool. It's what happens when your favorite band finally breaks through. And we always wanted to break through. We wanted to sell out the Staples Center, MSG, the United Center. That's what Dark Knight Rises was. It didn't hit the landing for me, but I love what we got. I love that statue at the end. I love Commissioner Gordon. I love Tom Hardy as Bane. But Batman Begins brought our favorite superhero, or at least some of our favorite superheroes, to the top. Made him important. And if it wasn't for Batman Begins, we don't get Heath Ledger's Joker. We don't get Black Panther. We don't get these movies. Batman Begins is so important. Even though it can't be Dark Knight, it is the Godfather 1 to Godfather 2, in my opinion.
I agree with everything you said, so I won't repeat it. I think what I'm going to say is, like you said, our generation of kids, boys basically, and girls, we grew up with the Batman animation, the Justice League animation, all those great shows. And then eventually those shows kind of went away, and we grew older. And as we grew older, like you said, there was never really a Batman outlet because the movies had bombed, so we hadn't really seen him. Superhero movies were starting to come out again. Spider-Man was cool, but Spider-Man's always, I don't know how to explain it. He's not Batman. He's not that grown man superhero figure that we wanted at the time. We were getting very young. And it's funny, I remember seeing the first trailer for Batman Begins during Smallville, which is what our age kids were watching because we're like superheroes, teen drama. Okay, Smallville, perfect. And I like to equate that Batman Begins brought our generation from childhood, and it gave us something to watch in those middle years that made it cool to like Batman again. Like, Batman was back and better than ever, and he was for your generation. You young, up-and-coming young men, you can watch Batman again without having to go back and watch the cartoons. We're going to give you a live-action version of everything you love about this man that raised you as children, basically, and now we're going to give it to you. And since then, obviously, now we get more Batman than we can even handle, honestly.
And he's taking over all media, some of the best video games, some of the best crossovers. Sure. Yeah, Batwoman was a very popular show.
He's still popping out some of the best animated shows that maybe our generation doesn't watch, but they get some of the best reviews on Cartoon Network. Is every time they revamp Batman, The Brave and the Bold, Batman Beyond, Batman Mysteries. Like, it all comes out. It's all very high quality because the character, I think, is just so, like, so not missed. Even his bad movies, 20, 30 years later, we're looking back and being like, man, that was actually kind of fun. Like, those weren't as bad as we thought they were. And that's crazy to me that even at Batman's worst, we get a Snyder cut. We get a cheeky, fun version now that we're older accepting Mr. Freeze. And that's because the Batman franchise is almost unsinkable to me, I think.
It's what I always say about Batman. He's the world's superhero, just like Superman, but they were made here. They're America's James Bond. They're America's Lord of the Rings. They're our
anime. They're our Goku.
They're our Thor. They're our Greek gods. And I think, and it's Spider-Man too, but I want to hit that point on really fast because my two favorite superheroes are Batman and Spider-Man. And I think the difference is it takes two different sides of a person's emotion. I see the insecurities and my teenage years and all those angst that I had in Spider-Man. I see the courage and what you want to become when you grow up and the morals in Batman. And they both have really weird similarities, even though they're total opposites in what you would think of demeanor. I think there's a reason why there's a lot of crossover between Batman and Spider-Man fans specifically. And it's funny you said that you couldn't understand why there is a disconnect. The disconnect is that they're two sides of the same coin. And I think that's what makes it very interesting. But Batman, to me, has this, the innocence that Spider-Man has that maybe the day will be okay at the end of it. You know, Batman doesn't have. And I think sometimes you need a little bit of that in your life that it goes that way. And I think that's the difference between it. But also, Spider-Man's always been very cheeky. It never tried to go dark, opposed to Batman, who's been able to explore those things. So I think that's the difference. But for me personally, Batman, Spider-Man, two amazing characters. And it's always fun that you and I, maybe one day we'll go down a top list of our favorite Spider-Man properties.
You know what? Let's do something real quick, since none of us did pick the Spider-Man franchise. And I think we'll good cadence because there are so many bad ones. Let's do it real quick right now, since we're already talking about Spider-Man, and I agree with you where he is the most like Batman at the time we got when it comes to a franchise. I know, obviously, Tony Stark, Iron Man's more similar hero-wise, but I agree with you. Franchise and zeitgeist, Spider-Man is Batman for Marvel. And, you know, I'll start. I'm not a huge fan of Spider-Man. Like we said, I like him a lot. I love the video games. He's just not one of my favorites, but I'll give you this. Far, Far From Home, I love that movie. I've seen it three times now. I don't know if it's Jake Gyllenhaal. I don't know if it's just Tom Holland's the perfect Peter Parker. I don't know if it's I love Zendaya. I don't know if it's Happy. I don't know if it's the fallout from Endgame. But I really, really enjoy that movie. I love the ending we get. I love that we get J. Jonah Jameson back in a modern telling. Like, I just really don't think that that movie takes everything we love about Spider-Man and it hits it perfect. And it's a sequel of all things. So for me, that would be my favorite Spider-Man film.
My favorite Spider-Man movie is Spider-Man 2. It has the most heart. It changed cinema. And if I can only explain to you as a middle school kid, seeing him fight Dr. Octavius and seeing Mary Jane Watson in a wedding dress.
I saw it in the theater.
And it definitely, it was one of those movies that changed cinema that summer. I love Spider-Man 2. Alfred Molina, one of the greatest, coming right up, falling off the heels of William Dafoe. And it was, we never thought we would get a moment like that, good brother, when we saw Spider-Man 2. And that's why I have it so near and dear in my heart. It was my original Dark Knight, but good
it's
brother.
Crazy, like you said, how fast it hit the summer, money-wise. Like movies, superhero movies weren't making money like Spider-Man made money at the time. And I think you can even say the Batman Dark Knight trilogy, I don't think makes the billions that it does eventually. Had Spider-Man kind of laid out that work of cinematic superhero, but a blockbuster, not a cheesy B film. And I think that's very underappreciated from the original Spider-Man, the original three Spider-Man, how much money they truly were making. And how astonishing it was at the time for a superhero movie to make that money.
While casting known actors, even some A-listers, but making sure that you got the proper actors and actresses to play the role. It wasn't just like Daredevil with Ben Affleck and Gardner at that time, who are awesome actors at this point in 2020. But at the time when Daredevil came out, it was casting for hype and for names. So I think that's what Spider-Man did. And obviously Sam Raimi directing it. That's our guy, Doctor Strange 2. Good brother. We got to keep going. I love doing this list. But we move on to what was my number one franchise, Toy Story. I'll go really fast. Toy Story 3, emotionally speaking, draining. It makes you laugh. It makes you smile. Toy Story in general does the best job of making you feel sorry for the antagonist. It does a great job of making your heroes feel like they're in danger. It makes you feel like, how are they going to get out of this trouble? The ingenuity we get to see our protagonists go through, and obviously the voice acting. And none of it is as strong as it is in Toy Story 3. I love Toy Story 2. Like, it's hard for me to ever disparage that. But that's just how great Toy Story 3 was. It's literally a perfect film. That's why it's my favorite in the Toy Story series.
I'm going to throw you a curveball because we both picked Toy Story 3. It's one of our favorite films. It's on the list of, like, with Dark Knight where we talked about it so much. So I'm going to throw you a curveball. I want you to pick a different one out of the four. I'm going to pick, and I know when we battle each other in debates that we have to, like, you know, we have to dig at each other's picks. I love Toy Story 4. I really do. I love that journey that we get to see Woody go through because it's almost like we're taking one of our favorite characters from this group and we're saying, let's tell a very personal story about his love life and his decisions. And, you know, he's always sacrificed for his family and he's always done the right thing. Maybe this time it's okay if he did something for himself. And I love that message of it's okay to worry about yourself. It's okay to make yourself happy and your loved ones will be okay. And everything's going to work out just fine. You don't have to. Just because you're not always side by side doesn't mean you're not always going to be together. And I love that message. The message got me. I think the movie's hilarious. So it's funny because you would think it would be one or two for me, but part four really touched me, honestly.
And while I absolutely adore part four, it's my third favorite Toy Story movie. The exact reasons why you loved it, and I think it was so great how you put it into words, the way you articulated it. I'm going to turn it and say that's why I love part two. Because part two shows you don't have to go away from your family. You don't have to go away from your friends. You do want to grow. Growth is important. Independence is important. Meeting new people is important. But also not forgetting where you come from. Also knowing that it's okay to come back. I think, specifically speaking, and opening up the fourth wall, I think you and I have the personalities where we like to do stuff on our own. We like to be independent. We also kind of feel like we always wanted to make a name for ourselves, be a little distant, be a little bit of a way, be able to do that. And I think Toy Story 2 was that perfect time where it's like when you're feeling, I want to go away. They won't understand you. Where do I come from? Where do I fit in this universe? And I think part 2 did that way ahead of time. And that's why I adore Toy Story 2, how important it is, not just the jokes, but how it touched the heart of, like, you fulfilling your own destinies. And, you know, Jesse being, it's a Jesse movie, to be honest with you. Even though it's all about Woody, it's a Jesse movie about her coming to terms about her life, making a family, being okay to move on, and never forgetting where you're from. Same thing with Woody. I absolutely adore Toy Story 2.
Well, I remember writing that piece for the network, and we talked about every movie basically kind of guiding you through life, where one teaches you about friendship and acceptance, and two, like you said, it's kind of a journey of self-discovery, and do you have to go to be who you are, and can you be a group and still be yourself? And then I think where part two doesn't make my top three is because I feel like the message we get into, we kind of stall it out for three, and then three really delivers. Three obviously is a story of it's okay to move on, you're always going to love each other, but life goes on. And then I think part four for me was just such a personal story of that one character, his one journey. Like, I still think we can make a lot more movies with the other cast, but for Woody, his story is truly closed.
And I think it follows suit for a lot of people who were following that film series. And that's why I think everybody has their own personal favorite Toy Story. But good, brother, we go from one series to our final one that really, I think, is a litmus test on someone's personality. And I am speaking of our number one franchise on this list, Star Wars. And I think you understand why I say it really shows a person's personality, their favorite Star Wars movie. So good, brother. I'll go ahead and put the lightsaber up against you. You tell me.
Here's what I want to do first. Hold on. Because we're going to do a Star Wars list. We are. And it might be even next week. We don't know. We're still picking between lists. Because there's so many. And originally I was going to have you pick one from each franchise or from each trilogy. And I'm not going to do that. Because again, I'm going to save that list for every Star Wars movie. So here's what I want to do for this. I want you to only tell me your number one. I don't want to hear your close second. Because I have a few that were close. I want you to tell me your number one and why it's your number one.
My number one Star Wars movie is Empire Strikes Back. It is the best directed. It is the best action. It is the most basic of answers. But truly, it is the story we all template when it comes to the hero's journey. As much as A New Hope does that, Star Wars Empire Strikes Back is the first time we see the hero doesn't always win. But the battle doesn't mean the war is over. We got to see the true strength of Darth Vader for the very first time. Mind you, for the kids growing up in the 70s, Darth Vader, even though he was this menacing figure, only fights in a TIE fighter. He never really uses his lightsaber. We get that at Empire Strikes Back. We get to see the full strength of the Empire. We also meet Boba Fett, who would become one of the greatest characters of all time, even though his lackluster appearance in the series until Mandalorian, hopefully. Also, Empire kind of just made the universe so much bigger than it really is. And if it wasn't for Empire, who knows how deep we really get into lore of Star Wars. But Empire was what made it a legitimate film. And from the music score to the characters, Lando Calrissian, I mean, you could go on and on and on. Empire Strikes Back is my favorite Star Wars film.
It's funny. If you would have asked me 5 years ago, I would have said Empire is one of the worst on my list. And now, as a more older man, I've rewatched them all, I think, for the 10th time now in a row. It's one of my top five. I won't say any more about that. Like I said, my number one, this was really tough. And it came down to like one little thing. One just, if it was votes, it came down to one vote with the recount. I had to go Return of the Jedi. And I think the reason is just because I grew up on that movie because we had the VHSs, so I got to enjoy it. I remember being a kid and seeing, I think Jabba's escape, that whole 30 minutes is probably, I smile from cheek to cheek. I have fond childhood memories of that scene. I can watch it and just giggle and laugh, and I'm excited and anticipating the music, and all of our characters are back together, and they save Han, and man, like, I even talking about it now, like, I just enjoy that movie so much. It closes off one of my favorite stories. It has an ending that delivers for me on every aspect. Han gets to grow. Luke's the master Jedi. We redeem Darth Vader. There's Space Ghost right there. We get little bears helping us fight for the rebellion. Like, it's just almost, to me, it's perfect. It's perfect Star Wars for everyone. And I love that movie. So I think for that, just the childhood fondness and the fact that it ages so well, Return of the Jedi is my favorite Star Wars movie.
And I love that you brought up the escape from Jabba's. So good. But I got one that my topic, good brother, and I know you'll disagree, but for all us Empire fans, the Battle of Hoth. I mean, the Battle of Hoth is great. So, I mean, we're talking about two movies that had marquee moments, that had marquee set pieces. See, say what you will about, you know, whether you like Return or Empire more. A New Hope doesn't have the same amount of set pieces. It has great scenes. It has great sets. But, like, other than, you know, the training scene or the Jawas or even when they're in the compactor, what, there's not many set pieces. Opposed to Return and Empire, where they had some money, the studio was behind it. And, again, it's what I just said earlier when we went into this. It goes to show the type of person you are, whether you love the Ewoks or you love Empire Strikes Back, but both of them.
That's the theory that Star Wars puts out, is that depending on the age you start watching Star Wars, depends on which movies you're going to enjoy more. So we always talk about that 2-year difference, not like that. So some movies, it is a big difference. And I think when it came to Star Wars, us first watching, I think it was probably, I'd have to say, what, maybe 11 and 9, 10 and 8. It made a difference slightly, I guess, because, again, Empire didn't stick with me as a kid. It does as an adult. But Return of the Jedi, again, it was just, like you said, at 8-year-old Alex fell in love with this movie, and it was my Star Wars done perfect. And I think it's funny that when you ask, like Force Awakens is nowadays, that's kind of what we got all these younger generation fans back into it, which I love. Because Star Wars is almost more popular than ever with kids. And I think that's so cool.
Absolutely. Although I think Last Jedi and Rise of Skywalker.
I think that only ruined it for old people like us.
The young generation,
it made money. The toys sold. We're like, Star Wars is more popular than ever. And we can say what we want review-wise about the movie. But the young generation loves this version of Star Wars. They love Rey. They love Finn. And they love the nonsense, and I got to appreciate that. The prequels, Mike. So what are we going to tell this generation what not to like?
No, I totally understand it. I think for me, where I was kind of more leaning into was, I think the problem is Rise of Skywalker and The Last Jedi did not culturally impact the same way Empire and Return did for their generation. Even though they may have loved it, they sold a lot of toys, they're going to sell a lot of merchandise.
We got a Disneyland now.
We do. No, totally, yeah. It worked out in that sense.
Disney show now.
But
so I'm just saying that maybe it's bigger than ever, so we got to give some credit to the current movies still making billions of dollars, and we got spinoffs.
Oh, absolutely. But where I'm coming at is there was no moment in Last Jedi and Rise of Skywalker that was Luke, I am your father. Like, we didn't get that. In Return of the Jedi, we didn't get that, you know, my father's name was Anakin, like my father before me and his father, you know what I'm saying? Like, we didn't get those moments in the last two. And maybe it didn't hit me that way, but I don't see kids going home the way they did when Vader was revealed to be who he was in Empire.
Rey being a Jedi in general, just being her was big, was huge. Because we hadn't had a female lead like that in the main Star Wars film. And 9 movies, the 7th. So I think that's pretty big on its own, bringing in a whole young generation of females that we hadn't seen. Because as badass as Princess Leia was, she was sexualized, though, to a point where Rey was never even close to it. Like, even the relationship points were very backstory. Like, Rey was the leader, and I think that alone was that moment for this generation of Star Wars, was having someone like Rey and a black stormtrooper representation.
Well, I actually think The Force Awakens is the only one of the modern day Star Wars films other than the modern day mainline Star Wars films, because we'll get into that into our own Star Wars list when I think about the new modern era. But The Force Awakens is the only one that had moments or tried to do something a little different. Even though The Last Jedi was trying to be a different type of movie, what I mean by it is The Force Awakens is a movie that tried to be a Star Wars movie that had Star Wars moments in it that a lot of people go home and talk about. Obviously, Han Solo. You know, like, there's a lot of different things. We got the first time we see Kylo Ren, Captain Phasma. Like, we, obviously, with all the new cast. So, like, there's a lot of things that The Force Awakens did that I think have more moments in them than, let's say, The Last Jedi or Rise of Skywalker when it comes to culturally impacting the next generation of not just Star Wars fans, but the kids that are going to make the new Star Wars movies 20 years from now. I think The Force Awakens is that equivalent of Empire and Return of the Jedi, But I have, you know, maybe it just didn't hit me the same way. And that's a conversation I can't wait for when we actually do our entire Star Wars list. But good, brother, we went
Let's do it next week.
Oh,
well, time the news. Next week's list. The top Star Wars movies from 11 down, prequels, sequels, miniseries, all of it. We'll talk it all.
And good, brother, as you say that and you get ready to coach the next generation of America's talent, I really want to thank you so much for joining us here. But I also want to thank you so much for joining us during the quarantine, Files, good brother. You have done a lot of great stuff, making time for us, making great lists for us. It has been a tough, tough time for our great country, for the entire world. But I think you and this brainchild of the quarantine, Files, has done some good for a lot of people to have some quality content, maybe watch a movie that they hadn't seen in a while or watch a brand new movie that we suggested. It's always fun to hear two people debate, agree, argue, and get it in there. But good brother, I think we're going to continue doing the quarantine files moving forward, but the Good Brothers proper is on its way back in the next few weeks. You and I are going to be talking about what we're going to do. So before we run down this list, before you go on to do what you do best when it comes to the cheer world and we get ready for the continuation of our brand, what did you think about the quarantine files and kind of where we're at this very moment?
Well, I think what's funny is that we're, even today, I think was kind of our forte into, we're going to keep the quarantine files because I like the discussion. So we're going to kind of veer off list completely. We'll do a few like the Star Wars, but we're really going to try to get into more conversations of comparing one movie to another, or why is this one stand out, or singular movie discussions. I think obviously we'll probably rename it instead of the quarantine files. We'll name it something different, but we're definitely going to keep the sideshow of, because at the beginning, this was a sideshow of the Good Brothers. Good Brothers is going to come back because now we're getting news. Now we have Mike got the new studio. Kudos to Mike and Nikki. We have a new place to hang our ties. But I think we're going to transition this show from more of just list to heavy discussion with lists thrown in if need be. So I think like today where we necessarily didn't list anything, we more discussed a previous list. And I feel like we can do a good job doing that going forward with certain news stories maybe or certain opinion pieces.
And it's going to be really exciting. I'm super excited as well to not only talk news, to continue on this long conversation, this long discussion format that you and I have built. I'm super excited about some of the other shows that are here on the network. And I'm super excited, good brother, that the world, at the very least, is going to try its best to get back to normal. Hopefully, we can do that safely. Hopefully, we can do that responsibly. And I know at the very least that the good brother, Alex Mercado, and myself are going to do our very best to bring you the best damn entertainment in the entire universe, Chicago, Spider-Verse, Speed Force, and a galaxy far, far away. But good brother, before I let you go, I'm going to run down the list really fast. The good brother and I, at number 6, when it came to our Lord of the Rings series, he had The Fellowship of the Ring. I had Return of the King. When it came to our favorite Avengers films, the good brother had The First Avengers. I had Infinity War. The good brother and I discussed our favorite Godfather films in that saga. The good brother had Godfather 1. I had Godfather 2. The good brother and I's favorite superhero, the Caped Crusader, the Dark Knight trilogy, one of Christopher Nolan's stamps in Hollywood. We discussed it and we both agree The Dark Knight is the best film in that trilogy. But you must watch Batman Begins to really appreciate what we got in that saga. Of course, one of the most successful animation, cartoons, CGI things we've ever seen that changed Hollywood forever, Toy Story. The good brother and I discussed what we loved between the four films, the entire series, the entire anthology, and we both landed on Toy Story 3. But great conversations about why Toy Story 2 and Toy Story 4 are must-watches for kids in our generation. And finally, one of the most important franchises in all of cinema, of all of media, in all of pop culture, Star Wars. The good brother himself, Alex, told you why he loved Return of the Jedi. I explained why I love Empire, and that is our favorite films within our favorite franchises. Good brother, any final thoughts about the list that you came up with or anything before we say goodbye to the folks?
No, I'm just super excited for us to get in. We've been trying to do this for years. And we'll take a positive out of this negative, and we finally get a discussion show where in the Good Brothers, we cover so much pop culture that we never really get those conversations, or we end up doing an hour and a half show. So we're just going to take that extra 45 minutes we would use, and we're going to do a discussion show. And again, it'll be coming with a new name eventually once we feel the quarantine is over for the network, and we're going to be moving back on with the Good Brothers and Murder Mysteries, and then this other show. I know we have a few other shows from Nikki coming too, which should be exciting, but I'm glad we're going to have a discussion-based show to talk about a certain subject every week, or bi-weekly, or tri-weekly.
And you can discuss with us everything that we've done on the network or something you want to listen to. Good Brothers on Twitter at Mercado21 Alex, and on Instagram at Mercado2121. I'm on Twitter at Mike M Media, on Instagram at Mike Mercado Media. The network is on Twitter at Mercado Airwaves, and Good Brother, our Twitter is back at Good Brothers Pod. You can like us on Facebook at Mercado Airwaves, like, rate, review, and share wherever you get your favorite podcast at Mercado Airwaves, YouTube.com and Twitch.com/Mercado Airwaves Network. And as well, patreon.com/Mercado Airwaves if you'd like to support us and check out our interviews with athletes and celebrities ad-free. And before anybody else, patreon.com/Mercado Airwaves. For the Good Brother himself, Alex Mercado.
Adios.
I'm the Good Brother, Mike Mercado. We'll see you on the next episode of The Quarantine Files, brought to you by the Good Brothers here on the Mercado Airwaves Network. Hey guys, Mike here from Mercado Airwaves. We want to thank you so much for all the support you've given us here on the network. And if you want to see what we're up to outside of the station, please follow us all over social media. I'm on Twitter at Mike M Media and on Instagram at Mike Mercado Media. You can follow the Good Brother Alex Mercado on Twitter at Mercado21Alex and on Instagram at Mercado2121. The lovely Nicole Mancha is on all social media platforms at Typing When Tipsy. You can follow the network on Twitter at Mercado Airwaves. Our pop culture show, The Good Brothers, on Twitter at Good Brothers Pod. Our true crime shows on Instagram at Murder Mysteries and More. And of course, like us on Facebook at Mercado Airwaves. You can see all our videos on YouTube.com/MikeMercado2333 or by searching Mercado Airwaves Network. We play video games on Twitch, twitch.tv/Mercado Airwaves Network. And of course, you could support our network by finding a tier just for you, whether you want early access, you want to be part of polls, you want to win contests, prizes by visiting us at patreon.com/Mercado Airwaves. And we really appreciate it wherever you get your favorite podcast to like, rate, review, and share us. And please spread the word. For the Good Brother, Alex Mercado, for the lovely Nicole Mancha, I'm Mike Mercado. Thank you so much for all the support you've given us here on the network.